This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
a joint study by the UN Children's Fund and International Organization for Migration says up to three-quarters of refugee and migrant children and young people trying to reach Europe are abused, exploited, and subject to trafficking.
That's Lisa Schlein reporting from Geneva. Details coming up.
Also, as tensions rise during renewed campaigning, Kenya's opposition boycotts the president's opening address to parliament today. And Zimbabwe's First Lady Grace Mugabe, who's accused of assaulting a young woman in South Africa, now says she was not the victim, or she was the victim, not the aggressor.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on African News Tonight.
Our top story, Kenya's opposition boycotted the president's opening address to parliament today as tensions continue to rise during renewed campaigning. Campaign rhetoric has been intensifying since the Supreme Court nullified the August poll results, with two politicians detained this week for alleged hate speech. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has the story with reporting also contributed by Mohammed Yusuf.
More drama on the Kenyan election front as incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta opened parliament to an audience of ruling party members only.
I would like to make it abundantly clear that my government will not tolerate anyone intent on disrupting our hard-won peace and stability. Under no circumstance must Kenyans ever allow our free, competitive processes to become a threat to the peace and security of our nation.
Opposition lawmakers boycotted the proceedings, questioning Kenyatta's mandate following a Supreme Court ruling that nullified the results of the August 8th presidential election. The court said that election, won by Kenyatta, was tainted due to irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of vote counts. After the ruling, President Kenyatta referred to the court justices as crooks. But the president stuck a different tone on Tuesday, as he called for the three arms of government to respect the will of the people.
It must be understood that marked ballots represent more than technology, more than computer systems, or even where papers were printed. The mark is the choice. The mark is a choice of a sovereign people. Their choice is sacred and must never again be frustrated or ignored.
A few kilometers away from Parliament, in the Nairobi slum of Kibera, opposition leader Raila Odinga maintained his position that the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission must be fixed.
We are saying that we are not ready to go for an election with the IEBC as currently constituted. We have given conditions under which we participate in these elections. And we are saying that unless those conditions are fulfilled, there will be no elections on the 17th of October next month.
On Monday, a member of parliament and a former senator were arrested on hate speech allegations. MP Moses Kuria allegedly encouraged a manhunt of opposition supporters, while Senator Johnson Muthama is accused of giving a defamatory speech aimed at Kenyatta. Both the ruling Jubilee Party and the opposition NASA coalition met with the Electoral Commission Tuesday, separately. The opposition said it was given a document without sufficient time for review, while the ruling party said it was happy to move into the next elections with the current configuration of the IEBC. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Three-quarters of refugees and migrant children and young people trying to reach Europe are abused, exploited, and subject to trafficking. That's the finding of a joint study by the UN Children's Fund and the International Organization for Migration. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The study, based on 20,000 interviews, 11,000 with refugee and migrant children, describes in detail the appalling levels of human rights abuses to which the people on the move are subjected. It finds children and young people traveling on the Central Mediterranean route are at a particularly high risk of exploitation and trafficking. UN Children's Fund spokeswoman Sarah Crowe tells VOA those moving along this route are mainly young Africans traveling across the Sahara from the Ivory Coast, Gambia, Nigeria, or other West African countries.
We also see from this report that the children who have less education and who are coming from sub-Saharan Africa have got a greater risk of being exploited, beaten, and discriminated against at every step of the way, but specifically in Libya.
The report says most of the migrants and refugees passing through Libya are exposed to lawlessness, militias, and criminality. A spokesman for the International Organization for Migration, Leonard Doyle, says the young people, ages 14 to 24, pay smugglers between $1,000 and $5,000 for their perilous journey.
People willingly go there, they pay for the journey, but they don't realize that they're stepping into a trap where they become exploited horribly so. If they're women, they're put into the sex slave trade or sold as slaves. Boys are hugely abused.
The report is calling for the establishment of more regular, safe pathways for children on the move. It says services should be strengthened to protect migrant and refugee children, whether in countries of origin, transit, or destination. The study adds children on the move should not be held in detention and that other less abusive alternatives must be found. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Germany holds its federal elections on September 24th. The coalition of the Christian Democratic Union and the Christian Social Union, led by Chancellor Angela Merkel, seeks to remain in power. All the German political parties this year have addressed the issue of migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. The German developmental organization VENRO says the parties can no longer ignore the issue. Heike Schrielmans is VENRO's managing director. From Berlin, she spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua about the shifting demographics of migrants in Germany.
We had a long time, many years, 20 years, a very stable number, around 7.5 million people from 1994 until 2014. And the number increased in 2015, reaching 8.7 million. And again in 2016, these are the latest figures, up to 10 million. Most of them are migrant workers coming from other European countries, like Poland or Italy. And Germany also has a long tradition of recruiting migrant workers from Turkey, for instance. But what dominates the public debate at the moment is the critical situation which began in the second half of 2015 with people from war-torn countries like Syria, Afghanistan or Iraq reached Europe in larger numbers. And there we had a very large increase, for instance, from 2014, where the number was about 200,000. It went up to 900,000 refugees in 2015. But now it has dropped again.
Was there much debate or controversy in Germany prior to the huge influx from Syria and Afghanistan, for example?
Of course, it was one of the political issues, but, you know, not as prominent as it is now.
Have the political parties taken up this issue for the upcoming presidential election?
Well, yes. The increasing numbers of migrants and especially refugees have been exploited by a new right-wing party that's on the rise in Germany. It's a nationalist and populist party called the Alternative for Germany, and they gather those that are frustrated by politics in general and feel themselves left behind. Keeping refugees and migrants out of Germany is very high on their agenda, and this new party is kind of pushing also the other parties that are more in the center, like the Christian Democrats, the Conservative Party or the Social Democrats, to adopt stricter positions on these issues as well. But I see also two positive trends, actually, may say this. One positive trend is that there seems to be a broad consensus among all of the parties, except this right-wing party, that it is time for legislation to regulate migration to Germany. And this is rather new. We need a clear and transparent mechanism to open legal ways for migrants to Germany from non-European countries. And it seems that now the parties have taken this up, that it probably will come after the elections with the new government. The second point that I find rather positive is that the higher numbers of refugees coming also from Africa have helped to increase the attention for our neighbor continent. So now there are discussions about Africa in Germany. The African continent has become something that the parties can no longer ignore and that they have taken up into their programs for the elections.
Now, from your standpoint, has Germany benefited from the influx of the migrants and refugees?
Society benefits from migration. It very much depends also on the integration policies. It very much depends on what kind of individuals come to Germany. For instance, for them without knowledge of the German language, they hardly have a chance to get a job or education. So it's important that they get offered, you know, language courses and other courses for integration, that they are being helped to learn more about our culture, our societies, our history, etc. I think we have a chance there because a lot of the migrants are young people, rather young people now. So if we take care of them and have the right integration policies, there is a good chance that our society will benefit, but also the migrants themselves and even the countries of their origin where they come from.
Heike Schrielmans is managing director of the German Development Agency, VENRO. From Berlin, she spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua. In related news, Chancellor Angela Merkel says it's not acceptable for Hungary to ignore a ruling by the EU's top court to uphold a migrant quota system. AP reports Hungary's prime minister says he took note of the ruling, saying European countries must take in a certain amount of migrants and refugees. However, he says he'll continue to oppose the plan.
Also in Germany, prosecutors are calling for a life sentence for a woman who is a member of a neo-Nazi group accused of murdering migrants. Beati Shapi, who is 42, is charged with deaths of 8 people with Turkish roots, a Greek immigrant and a German policewoman between 2000 and 2007. She is a member of the so-called National Socialist Underground. Two other members accused in the case died in an apparent murder-suicide in 2011.
A new report says consumption of the Earth's natural resources has doubled in the last 30 years. It says every year the planet loses 15 billion trees and 24 billion tons of fertile soil. The Global Land Outlook report was released today on Adros, China, at the 13th meeting of the UN Convention to Combat Desertification. It warns one-third of the Earth's land is now degraded. More than 1.3 billion people use degrading agricultural land, causing them to compete for food, water, and energy. You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. And the Norwegian Refugee Council, NRC, says more than 7 million children are out of school in the DRC. It calls the situation alarming. Over the last 20 years, the country had been plagued by conflicts and violence that have forced millions of people to flee their homes. The NRC says when children are displaced, they are forced to suspend their education or drop out completely. That leaves them vulnerable and at risk of becoming part of armed groups. Ulrika Blom Mondlane is the Norwegian Refugee Council's country director in the DRC. She spoke with me about the effects of a lack of education, which she says is most acute in the Kasai provinces.
DR Congo is facing one of the larger humanitarian crises in many years and have 3.8 million displaced. This needs a lot of humanitarian support. and very little has come to the education. This means that displaced children have very difficult circumstances to find education opportunities. They will not be able to continue their school.
How many children are affected and what age groups?
UNICEF has estimated in an earlier report that 7.4 million children as a whole in Congo doesn't have access to education. We can say that from a humanitarian perspective, in the larger crisis, it's always around half of the displaced that are children. So this is near a million that are in need of education. We are estimating that school-age children are 684,000 that need assistance to go to school.
What is being done at this point to try to solve the problem?
So the humanitarian response plan, that is all the humanitarian actors in Congo, they made a plan last year to respond to the education need. Only 4% of that budget has been funded so far, and we are already 9 months into the year. So that means very little of the planned activities have been able to be carried out. What we can say is that the NRC is carrying out some education activities in Kasai, where a recent crisis has developed, but we need much more funding to be able to respond to the extreme needs for the children in Congo.
In addition, I understand that a lot of the schools are being used to house displaced families.
Yes, when there are large groups of displacement, it's often different buildings that are available in an area that will be used. That is often schools. So many schools are used by displaced and military groups, but also very many schools have been burnt down in Kasai.
What are children doing since they're not able to go to school?
Small children in the earlier primary schools, they need the school for their protection. They try to find ways to survive. And more challenging is the older children, the youth. If they don't have access to school, many of them are risked to be recruited to different armed groups.
So at this point, are you all calling for the international community to place more focus on this?
Yes, of course. I mean, education is a sector that has a very long-term effect. If you don't invest in education, you risk. Since they didn't have access to school when they were young, it is very costly to reestablish education. So investing in education during the emergency crisis is absolutely paramount. Also, capacity for different jobs.
That was Ulrika Blom-Mondlane, Country Director for the Norwegian Refugee Council in the DRC. She spoke with me from Goma.
The international watchdog group Global Witness says Zimbabwe's government has been secretly using diamond exploitation to bankroll its military and spy agency, both of which are accused of human rights abuses. Sebastian Mumfu has more from Harare.
Global Witness says powerful political elites and security forces have controlled and secretly exploited Zimbabwe's diamond sector for a decade. Zimbabwe's dreaded Central Intelligence Organization and the military are among the state actors accused of holding stakes in private diamond enterprises, trading the country's precious stones on the international market. Global Witness says it examined the workings of five of the major diamond companies in Zimbabwe and found they have actively worked to conceal their finances and beneficiaries. VOA spoke to Global Witness researcher Michael Gibb.
Lots and lots of the diamond revenues have clearly not ended up in the national budget. And second, through the fact that these resources have unfortunately instead ended up in inside the security forces and institutions that have long been implicated in undermining Zimbabwe's democracy and serious human rights abuses.
Government officials declined to comment when reached by VOA. Junior Mining Minister Fred Moyo said he could not comment on what he called the historical part of Zimbabwe's diamond mining. Zimbabwe discovered the diamond mining fields in 2006 in the eastern part of the country, Marange, and began mining operations 3 years later. Meanwhile, the country's economy has declined with the currently no national currency, a severe cash shortage, and the government struggling to pay civil servants. President Robert Mugabe announced in March of last year that he was bringing the diamond industry under state control. The president blamed $13 billion in missing diamond revenue on private companies he accused of robbing the nation. Global Witness said it is a, quote, myth, unquote, to blame losses solely on private sectors.
The Morangi discovery was met with such hope and the expectation, frankly, that would help the country chart a new economic course away from an increasingly difficult economic situation. It's clear that hope has been dashed. Reforms should focus less on how many companies are active in Morangi, whether it's one or five or 10. The people of Zimbabwe deserve to know how much money the companies are making from their diamonds and where that money is going and how it's being spent.
Spokesman Obed Gutu of Zimbabwe's main opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change, welcomed the Global Witness report.
If those diamonds had been properly accounted for, the eastern border city of Mutare would be the Las Vegas of Zimbabwe. But you go to Mutare today, it looks like a ghost town, just like another town city in Zimbabwe. Derelict infrastructure. But you then ask yourself, where is all the money gone? Obviously, the money has been externalized, and a few people have benefited at the expense of the nation of Zimbabwe.
Mugabe's nationalization of the diamond sector has not gone unchallenged. Court cases by the private companies ordered to stop work in March 2016 are ongoing. Global Witness says the diamond sector under the control of the new government-backed mining company remains shrouded in secrecy. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Zimbabwe First Lady Grace Mugabe, who's accused of assaulting a young woman in South Africa, now says she was the victim, not the aggressor. 20-year-old model Gabriella Engels says Mrs. Mugabe attacked her with an electrical extension cord at a South African hotel on August 13th. She allegedly assaulted Engels for partying with her two sons. The Associated Press reports that the Zimbabwean First Lady filed court papers last month accusing the model of attacking her with a knife. The papers say she went to the hotel room because her sons were in trouble with a drunken woman. Mugabe left South Africa a few days after the incident and was granted diplomatic immunity despite the allegations. The group Afroforum is representing Engels and is challenging the decision to grant Mrs. Mugabe diplomatic immunity.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a three-nation Africa visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania, Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered, reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT right here on VOA Africa.
Looking for something? Headline news, interviews, analysis? We've got it all on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.